You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Steer. We're going to look at a number of things that apply to the word steer. One of them is the phrase, bum steer. If you go back and look at this, the phrase bum steer actually comes out of Australia, New Zealand, kind of when the war years ago got together, sailors heard it, and it means to give false or misleading information or advice. And some of this goes from backing up ships, which is a really tough thing to do because they're made to go forward, but they can be made to go in reverse. But you got, you know, guys on the shore calling out commands, misunderstanding from different cultures, and you get what they call a bum steer, meaning you're trying to go back and it's chaotic. Genesis chapter 3 is where bum steering starts. So go there if you would, Genesis chapter 3. And the definition said false or misleading information or advice. So at the very core of a bum steer is something that is false, a lie. Now, if you are believing lies and you are unaware that you're believing lies and you're treating them like truth, then you are going to end up steering in the wrong direction and end up completely somewhere disastrous, but you don't know how you got there. You don't know how it happened. You got bad advice. You were lied to. Misleading information. And if you know, some of you know tons about the Bible. Some of you here and beyond maybe know nothing about it, but takes a couple of chapters and the universe is created. God speaks, boom, it's there, and then trouble kicks in. And this is Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, so talking snakes, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, if you're not familiar with the Bible, or maybe you're not even a Christian yet, you say, well, who cares what God says? Sooner or later, you're going to care what God says because he's going to be saying it to you personally. Christians end up having to face Jesus after they die or he returns, but everybody else that's not a Christian stands before what is called the Great White Throne Judgment, and these are very personal interactions. You say, well, that would take forever to interview billions of people. God has forever. That will not be a problem, and you will get your turn. And all of a sudden, God's words will matter. You say, well, I disregarded them, or I listened to bad advice or false advice, and then look where that gets you. So God had told them some stuff, and what the enemy does, this is what Satan himself does and all his minions, their whole deal is he's the father of lies, the scripture says, and that's what he's about. So sometimes you say, well, it didn't seem like a lie. It just seemed like a slight distortion of the truth. And that's all it takes. You can set a course and be 1 degree off and end up miles from where you intended to be because you're just 1 degree off. You have to stay the course. So what does he say to them? Has God indeed said? Starts questioning what God said. And what did God said? You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Did God really say that? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, now she's going to quote God, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. That is not what God said. So Satan starts asking her questions, and she answers the question, and even she is getting the answer wrong. He never said you couldn't touch it. He said, don't eat it. So the second you start going down this path, you have to know exactly what God says and stick to that exactly, or it's not going to go well. Then the serpent said to the woman, you're not going to die. I mean, my gosh, isn't that extreme? You will not surely die, for God knows. Here's what he didn't tell you. God knows in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. He's trying to keep something from you. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, well, it can't be bad. It's going to make me wise. She took of its fruit and ate it. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And we are living the consequences of that decision today. You say, well, that's not fair. They screwed up. It's not just that they screwed up. We have proven that we are all screw-ups. Because if you say, well, I'm not going to let them control my life, then you've never sinned. But the truth of the matter, all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. Because before you know it, you're sinning. You don't even know it. Kind of sneaks up on you. Go to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs 12, 26. This is in the Bible. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. And the word in the King James Version is seduceth. The way of the wicked, it kind of seduces them into getting into all kind of trouble. So the righteous should choose his friends carefully. Be careful who you run around with. You're getting bum steer advice and you may not even know it. Hey, dude, let's go do this. Think about what they're saying and where that's going to end up. Go to Proverbs 13, 20, next chapter. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. So you say, well, I want to be a wise person. Then pick wise friends. Now think about the people that you run with. Who are you doing what you do with? Who are you doing life with most of the time? Your girlfriends, your guy friends, whoever it is that's around you. Think about their character. You say, well, I'm trying to reach them. I get that. You can try to reach somebody, but if you're running with people who are running you off the reservation, you're in trouble. Rethink that. Stop and say, okay, God, is this wise of me to be running around with unwise people? So steer clear of bum steer. You say, well, how do I know if it's good or bad advice? The best way to know a lie is to immerse yourself in truth. And when you get involved in the scriptures and you read truth, you meditate on truth, then when you hear a lie, you go, that's not true. And you call it for what it is instead of just kind of letting it go. Another kind of steer, to direct the course of a vehicle or vessel with a steering wheel, rudder, etc., to guide with tuition, like a teacher steered him through his exams, example. To direct the movements or course of a person, a conversation. You can steer a conversation. Every once in a while, I get asked to do a destination wedding. And the destination should always be happiness, but it doesn't always work out that way. So this one landed me, and it's a beautiful place, so it can go well. I ended up in the British Virgin Islands, on one of the islands. Flew down there, did it, came back. And while I was there for a few hours, the couple had gotten a boat, a catamaran, big 40-something foot catamaran, to go out for the week. And I was able to go out with Rebecca for that day. So I found out that the captain, who was going to take the boat out, had won prestigious awards in the United Kingdom, Scotland. He was the captain of captains. And I thought, okay, I'm not going to get many opportunities like this. So I thought this is going to be fun, but I thought this also could be very educational. So I watched him, everything he did on that boat, and tried to help and listen and do whatever I was told and learn things about telltales, little things on the sail, a hawk, a little indicator, wind indicator, angles that you sail at. You can sail a boat into the wind, craziest thing. Not straight into the wind, you have to tack. You have to go back and forth. And so I helped him for a while, and then something very interesting happened. He gave me a heading, instrument panel. I'm up there sitting next to him watching. He gave me a heading and left me to steer the boat and left, went somewhere else on the boat. Now, what did he give me? A heading and told me to steer the boat on that heading. Do you have a heading? And if you do, are you steering on that heading? Where are you going? Well, I was just giving some bum steer advice that, you know, just as long as you don't do anything that hurts anybody else. Yeah, I'm not hurting anybody. Except yourself, maybe. And then everyone else that is missing out on the contribution that God intended for you to make in this world. So you are hurting a lot of people because you don't show up. You say, well, we're just out sailing for fun. Even if you're out sailing for fun, you have to work the wind. You have to manage. You just can't go, oh, let's put the sails up and see what happens. You're going to end up upside down in the ocean because sooner or later the wind will spin that thing around and flip you over, and that's that. You have to pay attention. Little things that I learned, he pointed the boat into the wind to raise and lower the sails because that's the safest place. Nothing wacky is going to happen. So what is your heading? And if you have one, where did you get it? And we actually say this to people, hey, where are you heading? And they look at you like, I have no idea. Just aimless, just going through life. You say, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. Why does this seem so bizarre to people? Why don't you start with the God who made you? He might have an idea. Maybe he's got a plan. Maybe he's got a purpose. Go to Psalm 32:8. Now, the reason I recommend that you read your Bible is you will find this stuff as you read. And if you hide this stuff in your heart, the scripture says, David said, your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So it's funny how if you have his word in your heart, then the enemy comes with a lie saying, hey, let's go do this. And you say, you know what? You say that would be fun, yes, and you say it's going to be okay. It has never turned out okay. I'm not buying your lie anymore because this is what the scripture says. You say, well, I don't care what God says. And I say this gently, repeatedly, you will. You will care deeply what God has said when you're confronted by him in your life. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. And I love this one because this is such a relational thing. Robert, the captain I'm talking to on this boat, if I'm paying attention to the captain, if you get in a relationship with somebody and you can't hear over the storm, but you can make eye contact, and all he would have to do is look another direction, and I'd go, that means he said that way. You say, well, God didn't say anything. He doesn't always have to say something when he can guide you. Literally, it says here how. I will guide you with my eye. So figure out where God's going, look where he's looking, and go that way. You say, well, that doesn't make any sense to me. Give him an opportunity. Get to know him. There are things that my wife knows about me, I know about her, that nobody on the planet knows because we are in a relationship, a love, committed, marital relationship. There are things that drive her nuts. There are things that she loves. I got friends. I know certain things that do not work for them. So how do you know that? Because you spend time. So the more time you spend with God, the more time you spend in his word, you get to know him personally. And then you start figuring out, you know what? He's not going to like that. We're not doing that. Amen. We're done here. A lot of people know this one by heart. Some of you have never heard it. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And what? He will direct your paths, or your translation might say something like, he will make your paths straight. So you say, I don't know where to go. Then back into those two verses and you'll find out. Where does it start? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, not in you. You say, well, I'm going to trust in me and I'm wise. I can make decisions. I know what's best for me. You cannot possibly know what's best for you without knowing God. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. You say, well, my understanding of the situation is this, this, and this. Why would you just lean on only you? Lean on him. Trust him. Ask him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And what? He will make your path straight. He will direct your path. Isaiah 48. It's all over the place. And I'm standing here about to read you this. I'm reading it, about to read it to you. And it just kind of gets all over me just looking at it. Isaiah 48:17. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. So you say, well, I don't really have a heading. I don't know where to go. Then ask him. You say, well, he's silent, so I'm just going to go anyway. And it's not going to work out. Sometimes being still and knowing that he is God works out better than just running headlong and hoping it works okay. I just can't wait anymore. I got to do something. And how has that worked out for you in your life? It doesn't work out too well. Jeremiah 6. And I'm only going to read you one verse, but go back and read Jeremiah 6. Great stuff in here. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. We're not going that way. And then your heading's off and you end up in a bad place. You go, how did this happen to me? You need to spend a little more time looking in the mirror for your answers, especially when things don't go well, because the responsibility is staring back at you. We blame a ton of stuff on God that has nothing to do with him doing something to us. If you want to do a fool thing, he'll let you. James chapter 1, another great chapter to read about what I'm going to read to you. New Testament, James chapter 1. If any of you lacks wisdom, you say, you know what? I made a lot of stupid decisions. I sure could use some wisdom. So you fall in the category like me. I need wisdom. I lack wisdom. I've done some stupid things in my life. Continue to. I need wisdom. Being smart, by the way, is not being wise. There are very brilliant people, head knowledge, facts, business, whatever. They're very smart, but terribly unwise. And there are people who know nothing head knowledge, but make tremendously wise decisions because they are wise. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So God's just waiting, like, you want wisdom? Just ask me. God, give me wisdom and know how to live your way. Do it. He says, okay, I'll give you liberally, without reproach. It's coming. I will answer that prayer. It will be given to him. Guaranteed. Just ask. Do you know why we don't ask for wisdom? Number one is we're not wise enough to ask for wisdom, so sometimes you have to ask for wisdom to ask for wisdom. Start there. Well, God, I've never even asked for wisdom. And then the second piece of this is this. I don't want any wisdom, because if I ask for wisdom, he gives me wisdom, then he's going to tell me what to do. I don't want to do what he's going to tell me to do, so I don't care about that. We are hell-bent on being hell-bent. Because you know, if you ask God for his advice, why do some kids never ask their parents what they think? They don't want to know what their parents think. They want to do what they want to do. Well, what do you think about this, Dad? I'm not going to ask that question, because I'm going to do what I want to do anyway, even if you tell me something. Ask God for enough wisdom to ask him for wisdom, and then when he gives you wisdom, have the wisdom to use the wisdom he gives you. Apply what he says. And then you get down the road and go, wow, this is working out tons better than my way. James chapter 3. And here he gives you a very specific category, an example of a place we need a lot of wisdom and some control. James chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, in other words, what he says, he is a perfect man or a complete man, able to bridle the whole body. If you can control your mouth, you can probably control your whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body by just controlling their head, their mouth. Look at the next one. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. So a small piece of a ship, a small part of your body, can have tremendous effect and ramifications. If you get that piece wrong, everything's going to go wrong. Now I've got one last steer. When I was in college, an old man seemed old to me then. He was probably my age. But my parents were back missionaries in Brazil, and this old guy, he was in the oil business and kind of rough, you know, just not the tender guy. He loved me and kind of just a man's man, but intense. And I kind of spent a lot of time with him. And one day, it was a Saturday, he said, hey, you're going with me to Maypearl, Texas, between Waco and Dallas. And I didn't really know what we were going to do. It involved horseback riding, so I thought this will be okay. But as it turns out, he was taking me up to one of his ranches to run some cattle. And the first thing we had to do was get on the horses and cut out the bull calves. And then cutting became a bigger part of the process. Because then I found out that the reason for our trip was to separate out the herd, get all these little baby bull calves, and we were going to castrate the bull calves, which involves very sharp razors and loud mooing sounds. So I'm thinking, this is horrific. I don't have anything to do with this. We get all these poor little baby cows, you know, they're in this pen, have no idea what's about to happen to them. And I'm grossed out thinking, I'm like 18, 19. So they have this chute, and you run the little cows in that chute. The bull calves, they didn't remain bull calves very long. And you run them in the chute, and you'd flip that chute, clamp on them, flip the chute, and you'd reach in and cut them, castrate them. I'll let you look that up on your own. It involves something called Rocky Mountain oysters. So I was all upset about this, and after about 10, 15 of them, I was like, I don't care anymore. Get this over with. Then it just became work. So that experience stuck with me. Because what did these poor little bulls do to become steers? They just got picked. They didn't look a certain way, didn't have the breeding, whatever it was. You know, this one's going to be a bull, and this one's going to be a steer. And just like that, disabled, shut down. Couldn't reproduce, just good to be fattened up to kill. Now let me ask you something in a broad context. Is that what the enemy has turned you into? Just a steer? He's told you bum steer stuff. You can't have any impact. You've been cut off. You've lost all that capacity. You screwed up. You can't even steer your own life. Why do you think God would use you to steer someone else's? And you believe that lie. And so you just graze till your slaughter day, and that's that. I have another friend now, and he and his wife and their family have a property, a farm, they called it a ranch. And what they do is they raise bulls. Now, they do have some cows, and they probably have some steers here and there. But every year they have a sale, and it is a bull sale, not a steer sale. And they're all about grooming and maximizing these little bull calves into bulls, what they were born to do. And they're so high quality that people come from all over the world to buy these bulls and take them back to reproduce their herd. So which are you? You just some old cow, some old steer, and that's the lie you bought. When you're born again, you're born with all the equipment you need to do whatever God asked you to do. And the question is not, can he do it? The question is, are you willing to let him steer your life in a direction so that you don't end up a steer listening to bum steer and ending up nowhere? The book says, be fruitful and multiply. You say, well, that's physically. It's spiritually as well.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
There's a man sitting in this room today, and there's no way you would know who he is. But I have been disturbed about this for about a year, because he came in almost a year ago and sat to my back left. And he came in before the music started with his girlfriend, and he just sitting in a seat. And I was moving through the deal before we did anything, and I walked over to him, and I shook his hand, and he burst into tears, and he got up and left. Then I get a text from his girlfriend, would you meet with this guy? And I texted him, he agreed to meet, came in, we're talking, and shared a simple little piece of information with him, that Jesus loved him, had a plan for his life, that Jesus died on a cross, buried, raised from the dead. Eternal life was a free gift. And he said, well, why do you keep telling us that story? Because I still got seed. He didn't cut me. And when you are a believer and you mature as a believer, I don't have a verse for this yet, but I do kind of think there's something called spiritual puberty, that if it kicks in, it's game on. And where physically there's a drive built into human beings, spiritually there should be the same thing, that God lights a fire in you and you get his heart and you don't want any to perish. So then you begin to multiply. So that guy sat in the office and tears, just more than maybe I've ever seen, prayed that simple prayer and is born. How did that happen? A seed is planted, a child is born. That simple. You say, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Unless you got cut, and you can't get cut. The devil can't cut you. Once you get on this team, you're on the team. just whether you're going to play ball or not. Okay? So get in the game. It's not a game. It's a war. Lives are at stake. So stop believing bum steer advice. Ask God which way, give you a heading, and set that heading and just do what he says. And don't believe the lie that you're just some steer and it's just a matter of waiting until your slaughter day comes. That's a lie.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.